Next is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 25th chapter, text number 25, given on January 6, 1992, in Gidanagri.
Translation. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. Purport. The process of advancing in Krishna consciousness and devotional service is described here. The first point is that one must seek the association of persons who are Krishna conscious and who engage in devotional service. Without such association, one cannot make advancement. Simply by theoretical knowledge or study, one cannot make any appreciable advancement. One must give up the association of materialistic persons and seek the association of devotees, because without the association of devotees, one cannot understand the activities of the Lord. Generally, people are convinced of the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth. Because they do not associate with devotees, they cannot understand that the Absolute Truth can be a person and have personal activities. This is a very difficult subject matter, and unless one has personal understanding of the Absolute Truth, there is no meaning to devotion. Service or devotion cannot be offered to anything impersonal. Service must be offered to a person. Non-devotees cannot appreciate Krishna consciousness by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam or any other Vedic literature wherein the activities of the Lord are described. They think that these activities are fictional, manufactured stories, because spiritual life is not explained to them in the proper mood. To understand the personal activities of the Lord, one has to seek the association of devotees. And by such association, when one contemplates and tries to understand the transcendental activities of the Lord, the path to liberation is open and he is freed. One who has firm faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes fixed, and his attraction for association with the Lord and the devotees increases. Association with devotees means association with the Lord. The devotee who makes this association develops the consciousness for rendering service to the Lord, and then, being situated in the transcendental position of devotional service, he gradually becomes perfect. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Ki Namani Namaste Saraswati Deve Kauravani Pacharani Nirvishesha Sunyavari Pastachari Sitari. For those of you who aren't familiar with the format of the Gidanagri Institute Week, every morning in the Srimad Bhagavatam class, one of the persons who's teaching a course picks a Bhagavatam verse of his choice and attempts to give a brief description of his seminar. So this particular verse could actually stand for all the courses and the purpose of the institute itself, although the subject may be Sanskrit or Krishna book or another area of Srimad Bhagavatam philosophy. It's all teaching us sadhu sangha, to come together among devotees and hear the science of Krishna from persons who are practicing, and with time for exchange of ideas. Otherwise, if these things are being studied by someone in isolation without any association of devotees, or by a group, as in a college class, where it's all without faith and practice, then you cannot understand Krishna consciousness. The verse also is specifically applicable to the course that I'm giving on the Lord Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, which is described here as very pleasing by the process of hearing. So the The approach that I'm going to be giving is based on the fact that the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan are the most relishable of all the pastimes and instructions in Vedic teachings. And I'll try to introduce that this morning in this class with some nectarian verses on this point. Another aspect of the course and the angle of vision that we're presenting it is to try to bring out the practice for each devotee of learning how to hear with attention and enjoyment, and then to share his or her realizations with other devotees. Because we are all, for the most part, practicing devotees, initiated devotees, so we know that there is nectar in hearing about Krishna, particularly the Krishna book. But we may have lost the taste or somehow lost the regular practice of hearing about Krishna. So by this course is meant to be a kind of revival of practice and interest and taste in hearing about Krishna in Vrindavan. So regarding the point that Krishna is most glorious in Vrindavan, there's of course much evidence. There's a nice statement by Prabhupada near the end of Bhagavad Gita in purport 1865. Krishna has just told Arjuna confidential knowledge to always think of him, manmana bhagavan bhakto. So Prabhupada, in commenting on that, says one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms, as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. This is the most confidential knowledge. There are a number of nice verses that attempt to sum up the entire teachings of Krishna consciousness to bring out the superlative position of Krishna in Vrindavan. I picked out a couple of them to share with you. One comes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya is discussing with a devotee named Raghupati Upadhyaya. And actually Lord Chaitanya asks him to tell something about Krishna. And as he does so, as he hears from Raghupati Upadhyaya, Lord Chaitanya becomes very ecstatic and blissful. So he asks him, who is the foremost being? Raghupati replies, Lord Shyama Sundar is the supreme form. So this is also, this Shyama Sundar is also mentioned in the Brahma Samhita. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Balochanena Santaksidaiva Rideshu Vilakayanti Yam Sham Sundaram Achintaguna Sarupam Govindamadi Purusam Tamaham Bhajan. The devotees, when they attain pure love, prema, they see God within. What form of God? Sham Sundar is mentioned. As here, he says that this is the topmost form of the personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya then says, of all Krishna's abodes, which do you think is the best? Raghupati Upadhyaya said, Madhupuri or Mathura Dham is certainly the best. And then he asks a number of questions, and then he asks them to put it all together about four different points. Who is the best form? Where is the best place? What is the best age of the Lord? And what is the best rasa? And so then he sums it up. Shamam eva param rupam puri madhu puri vara vaya kaisho rakam jayam adya eva paro rasa. The form of Shamasundar is the supreme form. The city of Mathura is the supreme abode. Lord Krishna's fresh youth should always be meditated upon, and the mellow of conjugal love is the supreme mellow. Here we can take Mathura to be inclusive, meaning Vrindavan. Another summation, superlative verse like that is one that which I'll read, very often quoted by Prabhupada in Rohini Nandan's Vaishnava verse book. He gives it an asterisk, which means that's the most quoted. Aradyo Bhagavan Vajesa Tanayas Tad Dhamma Vrindavanam Ramya Kachid Upasana Vajabidu Bargaina Vakalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amavam Prema Pumarto Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matam Midam Tatra Dara Napara. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, is worshipped along with his transcendental abode, Vrindavan. The most pleasing form of worship for the Lord is that which was performed by the gopis of Vrindavan. That phrase, particular, Prabhupada used to say a lot, and he would put it, he would say, Brajavidu, and the Lord Chaitanya has said, there is no form of worship of the Lord better than that performed by the gopis of Vrindavan. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless authority on everything, and pure love of God is the ultimate goal of life for all men. These statements, for which we have the highest regard, are the opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why is Krishna in Vrindavan most attractive? Because there he is surrounded by the most intimate devotees who have the greatest love for the Lord, greater than the love of other devotees of other forms of the Lord. And this is manifested by the fact that Krishna is himself. He's at home, he's relaxed, he's doing what he really wants to do in the company of the Vrijavasis. In Vaikuntha, he receives very opulent, majestic worship in the material world, in the material planets, with our devotees, generally like in the demigod planets. He also receives opulent worship. And in the material world, he receives so many petitions from people who want material benefits. So they do not have such great love for the Lord, and it does not attract him. And he does not reveal his intimate features. But in Vrindavan, the devotees simply want to please Krishna, and they actually do. In the rasas of especially friendship and parenthood and conjugal love. And analyzing this according to the 64 qualities of Krishna, Rupa Goswami tells us that there are four particular qualities that are only found in Krishna, not even in the Narayan forms. They are the beautiful sound, attractive sound of the flute which Krishna plays in Vrindavan, and the particular devotees that he has there who are unexcelled by any other entourage of the Lord in any other place. His particular bodily beauty there in Vrindavan, the way Krishna dresses, the way he appears in his original two-hand form, everything about him is most attractive. What's the fourth one? And the way, the pastimes, the lila, they are the most attractive, either as the childish or childhood activities of the Lord, so attractive to the devotees in Vatsalya Rasa. There's nothing like that to equal that anywhere else. But Krishna becomes so dependent on his parents and allows them to take care of him. And the way he plays as equals with his cowherd friends in the forest of Vrindavan, and his exchanges of love with the gopis. So the lila, all these lila, and we'll be talking about the few of the lilas in this week-long course, Kaliya lila, Govardhan lila, Rasa dance. These are the worshipable lila of the Supreme Personality of God. And even in the other planets, they appreciate these lila as topmost. So, we are going to be hearing about them and trying to enter them by participation of hearing and ourselves speaking about them. Another verse I'd like to read now tells mixes these two themes of the nectar, that is Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, and the nectar of persons who hear and tell others about these pastimes. I'm referring to a verse that occurs in the 10th canto, the 31st chapter in the Gopi Gita. And this verse is also singled out in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the Gopi Gita, the gopis are speaking among themselves after Krishna has left the rasa dance. They were lamenting and asking all the different creatures, moving and unmoving in Vrindavan, have you seen Krishna? Where is Krishna? And then they would imitate the pastimes of Krishna just to be with him through separation. So in that mood, they began to sing these songs glorifying Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya, in his appearance, of course he was appearing in the mood of Radharani, although he's Krishna himself. He very much used to relish the pastimes of Krishna from the viewpoint of Radharani and the gopis. So this was known, of course, to his intimate devotees. And therefore, this involves the pastime of King Prataparudra, who wanted to get an audience of Lord Chaitanya. So he was very favorable to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya gave indications that I like him, but he's a king, I cannot associate with him. Then the secret was given to him by Sarvabhauma, I mixed devotees' names up with names in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said that if you will go during the Rath Yatra, when Lord Chaitanya gets tired at one point and goes into a garden and lies down there, if you approach him not as a king but in ordinary clothes, and if you will recite from the 10th canto, from the 31st chapter, and approach the Lord in that way, this is, I think, you'll be able to get his intimate association and blessing. So the king followed all of this exactly as he was told. And when Lord Chaitanya was lying down, apparently fatigued from all the kirtan, the king began to massage his feet and recite these verses. And then he came to this verse. Tava katamritam tapta jivanam kavibir iditam kalmasapaham shravanamangalam srimad atatam bhuvigrananti ye bhuvida jana. The gopis say, the nectar of your words and the description of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in the material world. These narrations, transmitted by learned sages, eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent. And when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he rose up. He didn't know who is this, who is speaking like this, but he just reached out and embraced him, this wonderful person who was pouring this nectar into his ears. And he said, playing on the last line in the verse, "You are most munificent, they are most munificent." He said, "You are most munificent, you are most munificent for speaking this Krishna Katha to me." So Krishna's activities are nectar, and those who describe them, they can be very pleasing to others, and certainly they become self-satisfied. So it's a great treasure that is open for all of us, not just for rare souls. Well, anyone who's come to Krishna consciousness is already a rare person in human society. So let us try to open this treasure, take this treasure, and relearn, if necessary, the wonderful art of an easy to do art of hearing about Krishna. And especially, we'll be discussing it from the Krishna book. This is also recommended by Krishna. He's very pleased. He says, "Matchita matkata prana voriyantak parasparam katiyantas chamamnicha tushanticha ramanticha." The devotees, they are always absorbed in service to me, and in particular, they are conversing about me. They talk about Krishna. They don't talk pajalpas, but they very much like to talk about Krishna. So this can make us real devotees and can create a revolution in the Krishna consciousness movement, solving so many problems at the root. If the devotees can realize that we have nothing to be sorry about, nothing to lament, nothing is lacking, as long as we can get together and talk about Krishna, then other things will follow from that perspective. All right. I can stop here if there are any questions. Murali Vatika first.
You quoted one verse imploring us to meditate on the Madhurya Rasa, on the Kishore age of Krishna. So certainly, my neophyte stage, this instruction is very wonderful. My question is, will there come a time when, depending upon my particular relationship with Krishna, my attraction to Krishna, that my preference begins to move away from that, or can this happen? My preference move away from the Madhurya Rasa to another rasa, and to another age of Krishna, maybe Kalmara or something, and how does one begin to recognize that that's not something just the influence of material energy trying to get me to stop meditating on the means of making progress, but actually a prompting of the heart?
Well, you're asking about a very individual thing. In this dialogue with Lord Chaitanya and Raghupati, he stated not his particular preference, but the conclusion of Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, that this is the topmost. And as you know, in the talks with Ramananda Roy and Rupa Goswami, it's explained why the Madhurya is best. It has five elements, some of the other rasas have one or two. So objectively speaking, everything resides in the Radha Krishna pastimes, most mellow. Now, although Raghupati says that, it doesn't mean that we can all immediately situate ourselves, especially in exclusive hearing or relishing of that rasa. And Prabhupada has, and Sukadeva Goswami have given us warnings also, because that rasa, in its perverted form in the material world, is mundane, sex attraction of man and woman. So one has to clear oneself of that, of those misconceptions, in order to fully understand what is the Adi Rasa, or loving pastimes of Krishna. So I'm answering in a kind of objective, general way to the topic you've raised. In a general way, you've raised the topic, what about hearing Madhurya Rasa? So it is a stage that all the Rupanugas aspire to come to. Your question is quite almost peculiar. You're saying that if a person had reached the stage of appreciating Madhurya Rasa, is it possible that he would then lose his appreciation?
No, not that he was appreciating that at a neophyte stage, I can appreciate that that's the instruction that would be most purifying, to concentrate on that. But then each of us were taught, each of us has a particular relationship with Krishna.
Oh.
And therefore, it may be that even though I'm concentrating on hearing Madhurya Rasa, my attraction begins to grow for Vatsala Rasa. A little bit like when, Rupa and Sanatan told Annapurna to meditate on Krishna, and he tried, he couldn't. Or Lord Chaitanya told Murari Gupta the same thing. But here it's Krishna is the center in Vrindavan, but the particular exalted nature of that rasa, any one soul's attraction may be in another direction because of their actual relationship with Krishna. So my question was, how can we begin to determine whether our being attracted away from Madhurya Rasa, in a sense away from Madhurya Rasa, is something that's actually indicative of our, you know, purification, or it's just like a trick of Maya, you know, that will eventually take us even further.
Well, the actual manifestation of our eternal relationship with Krishna will come at a perfect stage, and until then, as we're enrolled in this school of Krishna consciousness, hearing the pastimes of Krishna, especially in Vrindavan, we hear all the rasas. Krishna book goes through his life from babyhood to youth to boyhood to youth. So we don't avoid. Prabhupada said we should hear all the activities, and so that diet will be good for us. And as we serve Guru and Krishna, then we come to that stage that the particular tendency will come out. So there's no harm, but there's all good in hearing all the activities of Krishna towards finding what we will eventually want especially to do, and the devotees in Vrindavan who we are especially attracted to, the way they serve Krishna, and we follow them. I don't know that I can quite handle your question, but if there's classes about Madhurya Rasa, and although you are certainly, as a devotee, you're certainly interested in beautiful Krishna and in Srimati Radharani, who is the goddess of all devotional service, yet you particularly are drawn to the cowherd activities, then that is all right. And you will know. And when you enter such a stage, you should also have guidance of someone who knows those things. It's not something to so much worry about. And it won't be done, which seems to be partly your concern, it's not done with any kind of sliding or offense towards the Lord in one of his pastimes or another pastime, because they're all interrelated also. Krishna is sometimes at home, sometimes in the forest with the boys, sometimes with the gopis. And so he has assistance in each place, and as you join an inclination for one, it is not with a sliding for the other. So we need guidance for this. It's not a whimsical thing that now I like this instead. Or prematurely thinking, I like this, therefore this is my rasa. But just chant and hear and serve, and these things will be revealed. Did you have a question?
Well, you answered a question I had, actually. But as you were just speaking, I was thinking of when Prabhupada came to Los Angeles in 76 to stop the GBC, the Gopi Baba Club, he said that their attempts at Gopi Baba at that stage were foolish, just like a young child would want to know all about sex life when he's 4 years old. But when you grow up, you automatically know all about it when you reach that mature stage. So it was really about it before we were speaking. I was thinking I could almost hear Prabhupada say, you will know, no one will have to give you a certificate. How do I know when I see Krishna? When you see him, it's divinely bestowed.
Very good, yeah. Yeah, it descends, it comes down. It's not by an ascending process. Yeah, then Prabhupada would explain it that way, that it will be known automatically or it will be revealed. So when devotees like Narottam Das Thakur, when they express their longings, when will the day come, when will I be able to serve in this direct way, they're making appeals to the Lord and his associates, but ultimately it's from the Lord and his associates, the ragatmika devotees or the Lord, that the revelation comes, not by our ascending process, which Prabhupada puts in plain language as saying, no one will have to tell you, you will know. Just like a hungry man, somebody else doesn't tell him when he's eating, now you're satisfied, but he knows himself. Okay, take one of the ladies.
You mentioned that speaking about Krishna is an art, and I was wondering how one can reject speaking about Krishna more during the day. It seems like when a lot of times the tendency is to, when you come to meet the devotee, that you may talk about one's needs or, you know, like taking care of each other, and that seems natural also. So how can we
That's also part of our needs, of taking care of each other, is to, when you meet your friends, say, let's talk about Krishna, or let's read together. this is the life of devotees. So it can become natural exchange among friends that you do this. It's not artificial, in other words, to talk about Krishna either with the book open and reading or talking about what you've read. And so the art is part of the art of friendship or the art of a Vaishnava exchange, that we be able to reveal our mind back and forth on the transcendental level. Maybe this has been neglected, and there's more talk of other things when devotees get together. So it can be done during the day, not just in the Srimad Bhagavatam class. The art is to desire it, not be embarrassed by your desire to hear about Krishna and to talk about Krishna with your friend, and to try to arrange for it.
Relishing, going into ecstasy, hearing about the Madhuri Rasa.
and not appreciating it.
Good.
So like what Radhika was saying, just because you eventually be developing your own relationship with Krishna, but that in itself is not necessarily a reason just not to decrease hearing and not going to be wrong.
Yeah. No?
I was also thinking, as I was hearing your answer and the other devotees, that in Braja, all these other rasas actually enhance interior rasa. They're all assisting the blossoming of the full interior rasa. So in that sense, there's that connection naturally, even if it's from the perspective of cowherd boy, perspective of a parent, still it's all, even when someone like a Jatila is trying to apparently prevent it, it's just in the mood of actually enhancing it. It may not be her conscious mood, but everything is consciously enhancing the materialized.
Yeah. Even the trees and the creepers and the animals.
Right. Well, you were saying that the really blissful feeling that Krishna experiencing with the Vrindavan pastimes, and when he eventually moves to the Dwarka, he is still a really great separation, and there's Rukmini giving reference that he's like calling in from his sleep for all the gopis, and eventually he hears about the pastimes from some mother, and he manifesting the forms of Jagannath Balaji Subhadra. My question is if something happens similar, if you can give reference in Chaitanya pastimes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah,
he manifested similar features.
That Lord Chaitanya did what similar? That he expressed Krishna's separation from Vrindavan?
Yeah.
Well, he was always doing that. Especially in the last years at Jagannath Puri, in his talks with Ramananda Rai and Rupa Damodar. In Lord Chaitanya's case, he expresses it in... He doesn't express Krishna's feeling that, oh, I left Vrindavan, I missed the residence of Vrindavan, but he expresses Radharani's feeling that why does Krishna left? Why doesn't he come back? That's his special feature, is to express Radharani's point of view about separation. Sometimes accuse Krishna and so on. Yes.
Even in the Rath Yatra, it's described that when the cart of Jagannath comes to a halt, it's Radharani desire to take Krishna back to Vrindavan that is defeating, overwhelming Krishna, who's in the mood of, who's come from Dwarka in that princely state. So that's another manifestation of that attraction for Vrindavan Leela.
Okay.
So if the mature advanced devotee to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so much almost exclusively absorbed in the Madhurya Rasa, and they're interested in reading the Rasa Lila in the 10th canto. So for them, what's the purpose of the rest of the Bhagavatam? And for the deified devotees, we need to hear about how the Lord's a creator and understand his glories. But those were really absorbed in Madhurya Rasa, why would they be interested in the rest of the Bhagavatam?
Well, they'd be interested in it for preaching purposes. They would see that that Vyasadeva has arranged the Bhagavatam with the instructions of Dhruva Maharaj or the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj. They've been compared to when you want to bring a cow to you from a distance, you put some grass here and then the cow will come here, then you put some grass there and the cow will come. So they're leading the conditioned souls by these different instructions to the 10th canto. And so because most conditioned souls are in the distance and they need to hear all the other instructions, so the compassionate devotee, he preaches on all the instructions in the Bhagavatam with that in mind. Another way to answer that is that the kind of devotee you're talking about, they can see in every verse of the Bhagavatam the Madhurya pastime. So they can start with Janmajasa and they're immediately there. So, and Prabhupada used to say, not one word of the Bhagavatam should be rejected. even when the Bhagavatam appears to be indirect, it is more pure and potent than other Puranas when they get direct. Therefore, we read Amala Purana. I think we can stop now. All right. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.